when we showed up at the recount, they could not produce the legal ballots for the recount. And so, oh my gosh, so now we've got statistical patterns. We have a county who can't produce the original ballots that are supposed to be used for the recount. And we said, this is illegal. We're going to file a lawsuit. So we did. We filed an election contest here in Texas. Did a lot of prayer. And again, did we step up or did we step back? And we stepped up. And yes, people are very grateful because I'll tell you what, the voters out there, Sarah, just want some candidate to stand up and have courage and do this. They know these elections are corrupted. You know, and we're fractionalized. And when really maybe the representative government that we have right now is not really representing us because we didn't pick it.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we're going to talk about all the fraud that's going on in our elections across the country. We have Laura Presley coming on. She actually ran for City Council of Austin in Texas, and they uncovered some fraudulent stuff going on, and she is all the way up to the Supreme Court now. It's going to be a landmark case in Texas. It is a landmark case in Texas. And of course, the media is completely silent on it. And the national media is silent on it. And they figured out how some of the fraud is probably going on around in the country. And she is an activist. She has been outspoken about 5G, about fluoride, and about things that they don't want people to be outspoken about. And it's so important that people are getting into office that are making a difference. She's saved the city $4 million in one sitting. She'll explain the whole thing. But we're talking about election reform across the country, you know, about putting independents in and Green Party and libertarians and creating a swing vote. But if our elections are fraudulent and the two parties put in whoever they want anyways, then it doesn't matter. The number one thing is that there isn't fraud in our elections so that we can count on being able to make a difference and a change. But if elections can be rigged, it just throws everything out the window. So she's going to come on and talk about that. And then after, she stays and talks about some of her activism with my patrons, exclusive for my patrons, on 5G and on fluoride. Thing is that she is a scientist, PhD. She goes and explains why this stuff is happening, why it's bad. She does a really good articulate job, and she helps people solve those problems in their own homes. Very good talk. But before we get into the interview, I am going to talk a little bit about pet cancer. Over 50% of dogs are getting cancer, and cats aren't far behind. There is a free 7-day documentary that is going to be playing, and it's starting April 4th. It is going to talk all about what's going on with our pets and how to keep your pet from getting cancer. Very important information. If you really love your animals, I highly suggest you watch this documentary. The link will be below. Make sure you sign up for it so you don't forget. It's free now, and you don't want to have to pay for it later. Now let's get into my interview now with Laura Presley. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Well, thanks for stopping by. You have a fight of your life that you're embarking on, and it sounds like it's a fight that will help the entire country. It's a really noble cause that you're going after, and you uncovered some things that are ridiculous. So can you tell us and give us a brief overview of what you're doing and what kind of fight you're in?
Absolutely. You know, Sarah, I ran for the Austin City Council. I live in Austin, Texas, and I ran for the city council here. It was back in 2014. And my background is I have a PhD in chemistry and physics, and I worked in the semiconductor industry for about, 17 years as a device engineer and manager. And I wanted to bring some fiscal responsibility to the city council. You know, there's a lot of waste that goes on in these local governments, as you know. And with my background in engineering and, lean business practices, you know, I was the perfect person to be on that city council to try to save money and cut cost. And that just didn't seem like it was meant to be. And, you know, I ran for the council. We had a completely incredibly professional campaign. We had block walkers, phone bankers, we had wonderful donors, and we had polls that showed I was winning this election. There was a general election that I was in the November 2014 timeframe, and then we did a runoff with myself and my opponent. And my gosh, when election night came around and the electronic voting results were reported, my opponent somehow had beat me 2-1, and there was absolutely no way. We knew that. We were, you know, we had done polls. We had done so much, oh gosh, block walking, phone banking. We knew what our results were going to be, you know, within a couple of percent range. But my gosh, 2-1 came in, and that was ridiculous. So, you know, I kind of got myself up the next morning and licked my wounds and started analyzing some data. You know, with my background in data mining and data and engineering, you know, I can use an Excel spreadsheet. And so, you know, I went to look at some at the results, and they just did not make sense. And there were some numbers that just did not line up. And you hear this all across the country. Candidates will say, you know, my election results just don't make sense. Well, you know, my background, the good news is I could take an Excel spreadsheet and go look at the statistics of the results, and they just did not make sense. We had, and I'll give you a big example, you know, there's only 18 precincts in my race, which is, it's a small race, city council race. And almost every single precinct had more ballots cast than the voters who had voted in that, who had been recorded by the county as voting. And almost every precinct was off. So that just did not make sense. You know, you can imagine one or two being off, Sarah, because of the judges make an error or something, but not almost every single one. 17 out of 18.
How far were they off?
That's a great question. You know, they were off. I think by Texas law, you can be off by one or two. We're talking 12, you know, 11, 7. These are big numbers in a small race. And so every precinct times 18. So there, you know, there was an issue there. And so I sat down, and campaigns, you know, we get this wonderful set of data here in Texas. We get every early voting voter's name and their precinct and where they voted and what time they voted. And that's required by law for them to send this out to the different campaigns. And so I started sitting down and doing an accounting of completely the early voting. There were probably about 2,000 people that voted early. And it just did not make sense. The numbers were not there. We had, it looked like absentee ballots, looked like there were duplicates, voters voted multiple times. So it just was off. And so that was the first flag that came up to me. And then I did a more sophisticated analysis and found a really interesting repetitive mathematical pattern. Because, you know, in a situation where an election's corrupted, there's going to be a pattern, because the programmer or whoever's, you know, hacking the election, they've got a model that they're shooting for. And so we think we found that model. It was a 2-1 ratio program targeted by precinct. And that's why the precinct values were off. So we, you know, oh my gosh. And I'll tell you one thing, this is just kind of a inside baseball here. You know, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I saw this pattern. And I felt like I had just touched the devil. My gut just, I started getting nauseous, and I knew what it meant. Because, you know, Sarah, being in the semiconductor industry and doing data mining for 17 years and all of that, I knew what I was looking at. I knew this pattern did not make sense. I actually did another analysis. I looked at other candidates that were in other races and runoffs like mine. They didn't have the pattern. And so, you know, in an engineering theory, you test your theory with other situations.
So your race was the only one with that pattern that you found. Okay.
Yes. The other ones were very random. And, you know, for the geeks out there, we plotted on an x-axis and a y-axis the runoff results versus the general election that I was in with this opponent. And what we got was a straight line with an R squared of 0.98. And no other candidate had that. Everybody else had a scatter plot. You know, so, you know, just, we didn't really, we brought this issue up in our lawsuit. You know, we stepped back and said, hey, there's a problem. There's a pattern here. There's an issue. So let's just do a recount. Here in Texas, we have some of the best election laws on the books. And we said, let's just do a manual recount of what's called ballot images. And you can do that in Texas. When we showed up at the recount, they could not produce the legal ballots for the recount. And so, oh my gosh, so now we've got statistical patterns. We have a county who can't produce the original ballots that are supposed to be used for the recount. And we said, this is illegal. We're going to file a lawsuit. So we did. We filed an election contest here in Texas. And actually, it's the first of its kind in the state that's challenging these electronic voting machines that are not retaining these backup records required by law in our state constitution to prove how the election, you know, what the results really are.
Does anybody else in the country, have they challenged their state?
That's a great question. And the answer is no, not to this level. You know, we filed the lawsuit and we cited all these issues. And we got one round of discovery in our lawsuit. And we've got, what's amazing, we were the first candidate in the country, Sarah, to get these audit logs. It's a time, date, stamp of every activity on the main tabulation computer. And, you know, a lot of your audience has probably voted on electronic voting machines. And you wonder, where does my vote go? Well, your vote, you know, you type on the machine, or you make your choices on the machine. That electronic record goes onto what's called a memory card. And all these voting machines are about 15, 18 years old. They came into play in about 2001. So all your votes go onto a memory card that's about this big. It's about the size of a credit card. And those memory cards from all the precincts around your county merge to one computer. So if you want to hack an election or you want to corrupt an election, you don't have to be at the precinct. All you need to do is be at the main computer where almost nobody's watching. You don't need the Russians. You don't need an internet connection. You don't need a modem connection. All you need is a memory card that can have a program written on it. It gets put into the main computer, downloads a program, and backwrites the results. And there you go. It's not actually that hard. I've had engineers work for me who could do this with their hands tied behind their back.
It's not complicated.
It's not complicated. I'm going to say, I have learned so much, and you would be shocked. All you need is a memory card and someone to slip that in the normal flow of memory cards, and boom, you download the program, backwrite the data. So actually, there was a fabulous report done in 2007 by a Stanford University professor and a professor here in Texas at Rice University, and this is a documented hack scenario of these memory cards coming in, a rogue card, the tabulation guy at the main computer, when the cards are coming in from the precincts, just goes, let's download it, boom, downloads a program, backwrites the data, and you would never know it. So that's a documented hack scenario that's been there since 2007.
So they know. I mean, this is a known thing, and the university's known, they've documented it. But before we get into more details about your lawsuit, I want to talk about why you would be a target. Why would the establishment not like you? Because I've done some research on you, and I know that you do some activism. So I want to know why they don't like you. And I think if the story becomes clear, and I think this is important, I think people around the country, especially people that listen to my program and other programs like this and are really active, will start to see a pattern here as well. So tell us what you do or what you have done and why they wouldn't like you.
That's a good question. You know, I've done a lot of activism. You know, my background's technology. So, you know, I have patents on computer chips, on computer technology and manufacturing methods for computer chips. And, you know, I was an engineer. I've got peer-reviewed articles that I've co-authored and authored. And, you know, so I have a pretty good background of technical expertise. So a lot of technical issues have kind of come to me, and people have asked me to look at them. And so a couple of the technical issues are fluoride in the water. You know, my PhD is chemistry. And honestly, in the semiconductor industry, we use fluoridated chemicals to etch computer chips. I certainly don't want that in my stomach because I understand, you know, what that does and the chemistry of it. And so I've been an outspoken opponent of fluoridation, especially for children and infants, when, you know, mothers reconstitute baby formula with tap water that's got fluoride in it. And there's so many documented research studies on cognitive developmental issues that occur with infants and babies that are drinking fluoride. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. I understand all of that chemistry and that biology. And so I've been an outspoken opponent of that here in Austin and on our city council. So that's one of them. That's a big one. And, you know, you can't get fluoride out of the water if you're not on a municipal city council, because they control the water supply and what goes in it.
Does Austin still have fluoride in its water?
Oh, we do. That was okay. One of the main reasons I was running for council was, you know, this provide some technical expertise that just does not exist, and provide, you know, ask some.
They don't want that technical expertise there, it seems. Okay. What else is
that? That was the first one. That's you know, that was my first.
See, I want to get to the core. I want to see why they're scared of you, but keep going.
Well, you know, knowledge is power. I'm going to tell you that. So the second big thing I worked on was smart meters. You know, again, my background's computer technology and radiation of devices. You know, devices emit a lot types of radiation and electrical properties and all this. And so I understand also how, my gosh, these smart meters, who they put out high radio frequency pulses and microwave pulses. And so I was an opponent for that, where I want choice. We got the first opt-out program in Texas, in Austin, because of the work I did with Austin Energy, our municipal energy supplier. And we got the first opt-out program in the state, and we got the cheapest thing. So, you know, I was out there on that one, you know, and I've helped people all over the country reduce their exposures and help them. You know, I do a lot of that. I've got a website, austinsmartmeters.com, and it's a fabulous website, very technical. And I'm here to help anybody that wants to try to reduce their exposure. So I was an outspoken opponent of that. And then, you know, I think one of the biggest ones here in Austin, I was the lean business practice manager of a $1 billion networking company in my semiconductor career, you know, in that world. And I knew how to cut costs on, you know, big, large organizations like electrical, water departments. And so I was really out there speaking how we can reduce these expenses and reduce our rates and cut costs. And so there was the summer before the election, I spoke out on a waiver. It was an $8 million waiver the city was going to give to this company. And we spoke out on it. I organized people to get together, and we spoke out, and we saved like $4 million in 20 minutes. It was... I know it. We won that election, Sarah. I believe I won. So that was really the big hitter, I think, that really probably, you know, put the X on the back of Laura Presley running for city council. Because imagine having someone on that council. I mean, we just saved $4 million in 20 minutes. Imagine what I could do sitting on there watching all these agenda items come through and asking the hard questions and getting, you know, my constituents to speak their voice and provide support of what we should do. And so I think you just take all of those things together, Sarah, and, you know, and I love asking hard questions and challenging and...
So who are your enemies? Who do you think your enemies are? Is it the DNC and the RNC, or is it the bigger companies in the area? Who is it? The other city council members, and they have some back deal going, and you could go in there and clean it up. Who are these enemies?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's what I call the gravy train, the money train, and all of that, and it's different components, it's different groups. You know, there's a gravy train rolling here, and they do it in all these city councils and so many across the country, and commissioners' courts, where these deals are made, you know, subsidies are given, and it just pads the profits of these private companies. And I was going to really challenge that, that situation. So, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know who did this, who wrote the program, who said what the program should be. All I know, what I do know, is we found it. And we're not following laws here in the state of Texas. And so when you don't follow the best laws you have in the country on election integrity, just fraud can waltz across Texas. And that's what we have in this case, in our case. And I've helped multiple candidates around the state and across the country try to identify, you know, issues and provide them with good technical expertise of how they can address these issues. And so our case right now, you know, we were in a district court. We got this wonderful audit log. It was the first time anyone in the country had ever gotten it. And, you know, it documented, what's interesting, Sarah, it documented corrupt memory cards going into the main tabulation computer on election night 9 different times. And so I ask, you know, your listeners and your audience, do you want to see the word corrupt written out, corrupt, on an audit log of the main tabulation computer where your votes are being counted? Is that something that we want to see?
What does it mean it's corrupted? Like they couldn't read the memory card? Did you ask that? Is that part of it?
Because we did. We did. And we did. And so, you know, we got the audit log, and then we asked for the manuals of this main computer. And so in the manual, it's documented that if you have a corruption error, the lights go off, the lights are on, you need to segregate and quarantine that corrupt card. You do not want to download the data from it. But Travis County here in Austin pushed the button 9 times, accept the data. All right. And we got on in deposition the county clerk saying, oh, we don't worry about those corruption errors. It's kind of just like, you know, you just accept it and move on. No, the SOP, the standard operating procedure in the manual says quarantine those cards, set them aside.
But even so, let's say it's some weird thing and it doesn't affect it. Well, it probably doesn't affect it because they they manipulate it at the end. But let me ask you, you are suing, who are you suing? And then there's some weird stuff that happened during your lawsuit that showed that you were too close to the fire and they started acting weird. So explain who you're suing and then what some of the steps are and how they started being weird with you.
Okay. So yeah, the lawsuit in Texas, you have to sue your opponent. And we sued our opponent, Mr. Greg Kassar. He had just moved into the district to run for city council. You know, you've got a certain time frame that you need to be in the district before you can run for an elected position. And so he was moved in by the Democrats here in my county. He was moved into my district 2 weeks before the deadline. And so he was new in the district. He was very young, 24 years old, had one job before. He was a lobbyist for a union, an organization that works with unions. And so, you know, gosh, he'd only had one job prior. I mean, I've got this huge work history, huge expertise. I've been my neighborhood president. I've been, you know, on multiple boards, you know, got all
this. So a lot of people know you. And then
a lot of people know me. A lot of people.
This and kid coming out of college that barely had an internship is coming and running against you.
That's right. That's okay. Right. And so, you know, 24 years old, you know, young, not a lot of expertise. So they move him in 2 weeks before the deadline, and there was nothing they could do from our polling, Sarah, that was going to get this kid to win. There was just nothing. And, you know, we were doing block walking phone banking. We had good, you know, good stats on what was going on in the district. And so, you know, we also found out it was during the runoff, we found out that he had written just a couple years prior in college at University of Virginia that he was an atheist. And so we made sure all the voters knew it. I live in a very economically challenged district, and it's about 28 square miles, so it's not that big, it's very dense. And we have 50 churches in our district. And so I knew, and I'm a woman of faith, I knew that our voters were not going to elect an atheist. And so we knew this, and we're economically challenged. I've been poor in my life, Sarah, and poor people, I've been there. We're not atheists. We're not. We don't do that. So I knew what my district was, and I've been here, and
It
I
just
know it.
wouldn't win. An atheist
He
wouldn't
wouldn't
win in that
win.
district, regardless of what anybody is listening to show. An atheist would not win in your district, and
Not in my district.
It's politically No. what you do not do. Yeah, I don't.
That's right.
They
That's
wouldn't
right.
win.
And, you
They
know,
wouldn't win it around my place, around here either. But keep going.
so we made sure every voter knew this. And I'll tell you one thing. I was at the polls on election day in the runoff, and I had African Americans and Hispanics coming up to me and like saying, "We're voting for you because we don't want this guy in. He doesn't represent us. We're people of faith. We don't want this." So okay. So it was very positive, you know, all on election day. And he was nowhere to be found on election day. He was not electioneering at one location. And anybody that runs a campaign knows you got to have your candidate at least one place where voters can see them. He was not electioneering at all. So that threw up some big flags for me, Sarah, because I know how to campaign and you've got to be there. And so how did he know not to be there? There were no signs at his polling locations. We had signs, 4x8s, yard signs, I mean, plastered on every voting location.
So he just didn't run a good campaign.
Did not run a good campaign.
All of his features and things about him just didn't make sense, right? And so you're like, wait a minute, red flags. And then you lose against him, but you're like, oh my God, it's like losing against him. It's like losing against, I imagine this kid, ponytails and braces and pimply face, but I know he's older than that.
Not that bad.
But you had to wake up and realize you lost to that. But anyway, so it was really weird. But then you started getting the data showing it. But who did you end up suing? Because then it got just as weird again.
Right. So we sued him. In Texas, you have to sue your opponent. And so we filed this lawsuit and we cited, you know, so many of the laws in Texas, the recount records were not, they didn't have, the county didn't retain the backup records for the recount. There were legal ballots. We had all the statistical patterns. We had the audit logs. We had, you know, one thing about the audit logs was very particular, and this is where attention to detail really helped us. The audit log that was, the memory card that was corrupted, we knew the ID of that card. And so then we got the audit log of where that card was being programmed. And what's interesting, that card appeared to be missing for 19 days out of the county. That card was not just some card. It had logged in and logged out data that showed for 19 days it was unaccounted for. So that to me was like, oh, wow, this is, as an engineer, and I've managed engineers who write code and all of this, that I wanted that card. So when we started asking for that card, Sarah, in our lawsuit, that's when we started asking for manuals of kind of where the ballots should be stored. We got cut off.
That's when
and
it got weird, right? Because
got
you
weird.
Got too
they,
close to the fire on that
too
one.
Close.
You nailed where the proof is, and that's when they got weird. Okay, now tell us what happened.
So we were, our opponent filed what's called a no evidence summary judgment, saying that we had no evidence at all in the case. And we had this whole, I don't know, plethora of evidence of issues. And so the judge, when we started asking these questions, cut off the discussion, ruled that we had a no evidence case, and threw us out of court.
Right
and
after it, you asked for that information.
We started asking for these manuals and, you know, more discovery. That wasn't going to happen. So he granted the no evidence summary judgment, and we respectfully disagree with our district judge that, you know, heard our case. And it's not a jury. It is a tribunal, which is one judge. And we respectfully disagreed with that. And then there was another motion by our opponent that to sanction us over $100,000 for a frivolous lawsuit. And it was said in the courtroom that they wanted to sanction us so high so that no candidate would ever bring a challenge like this again on these electronic voting machines.
Which in and of itself should scare the heck out of people. But go ahead, keep talking
about
it.
Yeah, it scared us. I'll tell you,
well, I mean,
$1,000 sanctions on top of the already big legal bills that we were.
Well, that you can't challenge an election when there's all this weird stuff going on. But it just doesn't make sense. That itself is scary.
Yeah. And so, you know, so here we are. I mean, and this was very, very challenging, Sarah, you know. And this is why candidates don't do what we're doing, because there's so much pressure. It's so expensive. And now we're looking at potentially being sanctioned $100,000, me and my lawyer both, for this frivolous lawsuit, which is not frivolous because we have all this evidence and we're basing everything on law, and it was brought in good faith, because I can read English and I can read what the statutes say, and this is all brought in good faith. And so the judge granted the sanctions and claimed we had a frivolous lawsuit.
But are you getting to that proof? When are you going to be able to get that memory card that has the proof on it?
Right. So we are, you know, we're years after that. They've overwritten that card. That card is gone.
Gosh. See, the problem is, and that's where the crimes are, is that had the proof on it. They did this game so that you couldn't get to the proof and said it was frivolous. Well, no, it wasn't. That had the proof on it. And then you could have proved it one way or another. But regardless, challenging an election is not a frivolous activity, period. It's just not.
And we just wanted the answer. We had an expert witness, a PhD in computer science, who was willing to go inspect that card. We just wanted to know why it was corrupt.
Why was
the card corrupt?
Well, and the other thing, you'll be able to see that data on it. And then if you're wrong, you're wrong. You lose. But why? There's enough there to say, we gotta challenge this. And that $100,000 thing, so nobody else challenges, is very disturbing. So anyways, keep going.
So, you know, the judge had not ruled on the sanctions on the $100,000 motion that they made. And so there was a deal on the table from my opponent's lawyer. And this was said up at the bench with my lawyer and I was not there, but my lawyer reported it back to me. Up at the bench, the opponent's lawyer made the offer that they would not pursue the sanctions if we would not appeal our case to a higher court. And so I'll tell you, Sarah, that was a compelling offer, I'm going to say. You know, in your life, sometimes we get these challenges, these spiritual challenges, and it kind of tears me up a little bit, because this was a hard decision that we made at the time. I went home, I talked to my husband, and we said, are we going to step up or are we going to step back on this? And we decided to step up, and we said, we're not taking the offer. We want to pursue the appeal, because we're in the right. Laws have to be followed. The law is the law is the law.
So their cover-up, this is what I've always been told by lawyers, the cover-up is more criminal than even the act in the first place. But so that's, and now you've got another crime on top of it. Okay, you have the original proof, because even though the memory card would have given you proof, you have the stats, and anybody with a brain can tell that there is something wrong with this. You sent me a bunch of pictures. Tell me which one to put up here, and I'll show a couple of them.
Show the straight line one, because I love that one. And that's for the engineering audience. Because okay. I'll tell you one thing. I've been all over the state of Texas. I've given about 200 presentations in the last 2 years. And I show the data, and I show the analysis, and then I show the laws that are being broken, and then I show our evidence. But I'll tell you one thing. This is what I love the most, because I presented this slide to a room full of engineers, Exxon engineers, retirees. And when I show this slide, they all laugh, because they know what it looks like. They know what it means.
Because it's obvious. Okay, so you have this obvious data, these data graphs. And then when you wanted to get to the card, they freaked out and tried to cover it up, and they committed more crimes. And then they do the sanctions against you, which is absolutely horrendous, because they're trying to set an example so nobody else challenges an election, which is ridiculous. Another crime, I would think. And now where are you at?
Good question. So the appeals court, we went to the third court of appeals, that's the first level up, and they upheld everything and sanctioned us more.
So now what's the sanction level at? What is the level of sanctions now?
Okay, they added another $25,000. And then And then they added another 45,000 if we went to the Texas Supreme Court and lost. So, oh my gosh, again, I go to my husband and we're like, oh my, we're not wealthy, Sarah. Okay, we're just good intentioned people, you know, who want the truth and want laws to be followed and honest elections. And so, you know, again, do we step up or do we step back? And we long discussion on this, and we decided to step up. So we are currently in this moment in the Texas Supreme Court, and it looks really good for us. We have the Attorney General of the state of Texas, Ken Paxton, has written an amicus brief supporting our petition for review in the Texas Supreme Court. And he wrote a 10-page brief that supports that this needs to be evaluated by the Texas Supreme Court. This is not, you know, in our opinion, and I'm going to respectfully disagree with the original judge, the district judge, and I'm going to respectfully disagree with the Third Court of Appeals in Texas, which has three judges on it. We disagree with them, and we're asking the Texas Supreme Court, in some sense, to grade their paper.
Okay, so now
And
that
the AG agrees with, let's have the Supreme Court grade this paper. And so,
ten-page Attorney General brief, is it something that is public that we could put up on
oh
our?
yeah,
Okay,
absolutely.
I'll put that up on the
Absolutely.
show page if you can send that to me on my website. The other question I have, was he supporting the concept in general, like we should be able to challenge, this is ridiculous, or is he saying, hey, there's evidence here and I want you to look at this? Do you know what I'm saying, the difference?
Exactly. And the brief is very clear. They do reference our evidence. They reference our, and the
Good.
Attorney General
Okay.
focused on one component of our case is about three different components. He focused on the constitutional component, which is that ballots in Texas have to be numbered. That's the constitutional requirement. And these electronic voting machines appear to be capable of numbering them. We have evidence of that. And they're not numbering them. And so you've got to have a legal ballot for a recount. That was really the first, you can have all this, you can have corrupted elections, Sarah. But you've got to be able to have a legal recount to go back. And that's what the county could not produce. And that's the main issue that the AG, the Attorney General, focused on.
And then you shouldn't sue the or put a sanction for a hundred and you're at $165,000 just because you're challenging an election with all these weird anomalies.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Okay, two questions now. First, I'm going to start. What happens if you win? What happens after that? I mean, does a guy stay in? What happens?
You know, that's a great question, and that's a question for the Supreme Court. I don't know what the options are. The term actually is over. The term has expired for that race, for that position. And we are asking the court, and here's the big deal. I will run again, but I'm not going to run until this is corrected. Why would I run again, Sarah, when this case, you know, you've got illegal ballots. You have corruption, you've got,
You're
you
not
know,
going to win anyways. It needs to be fixed.
I
They
would,
will make sure you don't win. And they can say, see, nobody likes her.
well,
It has to be fixed.
how can I ask anybody to donate when I know this is going on and
You
we may
can't.
not get an honest election? So the real purpose of this case right now, this election contest, is to say, I'm going to run again. And if we don't address this, it's going to happen again. And because the court system is so long and this term ended, the legal system takes a long runway. And so this is just going to come back. So let's deal with it now. And let's deal with it. And we want the court to come in and step in and give some guidance to the counties and give some guidance to the Secretary of State's office that ballots have to be numbered. They can number them. Computers are good at that. Computers are good at numbering stuff. So let's have that number that's supposed to be there, that's required by the state constitution. Let's have a legal ballot for a recount. Let's retain these backup records. And, you know, that's what we're asking the court to weigh in on
Okay,
and provide guidance that we got to have legal elections in this state.
so it would change the election behavior in your state. And do you think it'll change it across the
I do
country?
believe it.
Because these are happening, you're hearing candidates, after this happened to you, you're hearing candidates come out of the woodwork, right? Talking, you're going, gosh, that happened to me. It's all over the place.
It is all over the place. And I'll tell you, it's all over the place in Texas. I now do consulting for a lot of candidates across the state at different levels. We see these corruption errors, Sarah, all across Texas in these voting machines. We now are putting watchers in these central counting computers, and that has never been done before in the state of Texas. The last 2 years, this case is 3 years old. We know what to be looking for. We know where the smoking guns are. And so we've assigned people to be monitoring when these corruption errors come up on this computer. We've had watchers sit there with the counties and say, you know what? That card is supposed to be quarantined. Do not download the data. And some counties, the good counties, they take it off. They take it off the plate. They quarantine it and they go download the original data. And that's what you're supposed to do by the standard operating
Well,
procedure
if you
of
have
the judge.
ethical election judges, now this is step one in election reform because, we're all talking about wanting to get rid of this whole two-party control and have independents and Green Party and people and libertarians and everybody so that there's a major swing vote and that there isn't just a few people on top making all the decisions and everybody has to follow the party, that we start to bring government back to the people. But if we don't fix this, if all the elections are rigged by the two-party system anyways, then all of our activities are worthless anyway. I mean, we have to fix this first. And so this lawsuit, which people don't realize, is how important it is for our country. Now, what happens if you lose?
Well, I don't see that happening. I'll be honest with you. I don't. With the AG, it's a possibility. It's a low percentage possibility in my belief. And we are so strong on case law. There's been case law before, Sarah, on these issues. Not exactly this type of issue, and that we've identified, but kind of a general similar issue. So we've got case law on our side. We've got the evidence on our
And the
side.
judges are ethical, right? Because you
I
know as
can't.
much as I know that in law, you can have a smoking gun, a slam dunk case, and come out losing. And it's because everybody's paid off and it's weird and whatever. But you think that it's high enough level now, enough fishbowl activity where these judges are going to do what's right and not be politically influenced.
Well, and it's more than that. The Supreme Court of Texas has a precedent for ballot numbering, for upholding certain laws in the state. They're what we've got, we've
It
distinguished
would
law.
throw your whole constitution in disarray, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. I mean, it would invalidate that. And my gosh, the public doesn't want that. And really, the Supreme Court, they've ruled on similar issues like this before. And we've asked them to uphold what their own court has done.
Well,
And
uphold the Constitution, because if they don't
uphold
do that,
the Constitution.
the whole state is going to be hosed. I mean, now you've embedded corruption into your election process.
And there are safeguards in the law and in our Constitution to provide against that. And that's what we're asking the court to uphold and to provide guidance on. And you know what happens, Sarah? There's kind of this, things are inconvenient and they're cumbersome. There's a reason why our laws have a specific order and why you're supposed to do things with these computer systems in the order that they were originally designed. Now, as a computer chip, I go to my engineering background, and a computer chip will not work if you miss one step out of 3,000 steps. It won't work. Same with our elections. We have these very integrated steps for data, for documenting fraud, for preventing fraud. And if you remove just one of those, the whole system falls. And so this is an integrated election security fraud prevention system that we have in Texas. And if you remove just one piece of it, everything falls apart.
Yeah,
If
so
you
then
remove
the
just
Supreme Court doesn't rule in your favor, then they're allowing a complete fraudulent system. I mean, they're actually embedding fraud and the frivolous lawsuit, the sanctions. And so now they have fraud that's legal and the sanctions. It would be a nightmare for the state of Texas if you didn't win. Now, could you go to the Supreme Court of the federal level, or is this the last level because it was a state issue?
That's a good question, and I would like to leave that answer up to my lawyer. And you know, I'm very versed right now on the state laws, and I understand the technical issues of the computer stuff, and that's the piece I bring to the table that no candidate has ever brought before. You know, I knew what that pattern looked like. I know how computers work. I know how audit logs work. I know how memory cards work. I know how programs can be downloaded. All of that. That's easy. So that's easy for me. So, you know, that federal question, I just don't know the answer to that. And, you know, I'm open if there's a door. You know, there's a prayer that I have, Sarah. I just pray, you know, Lord, just open the doors and I'll walk through them. Just keep opening them and I'm going to keep walking through. And, you know, so many doors have opened with this case. I have been all over the state of Texas. I've given 200 presentations in 2 years. We've had an immense donor base. I've had donors that has given us $5 for this case, up to, you know, $13,000, $15,000 for this lawsuit. We're probably at about $300,000 right now for legal costs.
It's crazy.
At this point.
It's absolutely crazy. Okay, crazy. Well, how can people help you? Because I know you're just plugging along and you're doing you're a hero for our country, because I think this is a lot of the problem across the entire country. We can't solve so many of our issues if we have activists and people who can actually solve the problems who are purposely barred. It doesn't matter what we do. We got to solve these problems. But how can people help you?
Thank you. You know, we have one more brief that's due to the court. It's a final brief. We've gotten so far with this, and we are in debt right now about $50,000. I mean, we were in debt much higher, but we've really whittled that down with wonderful donors. We've got one more brief that we're raising money for. We're trying to raise about $10,000 for this last brief. And I'll tell you one thing, it takes about $1 million to go to the Texas Supreme Court and be successful. And we have just done this on a shoestring. And, you know, right now I'm pro se, which means I write the briefs. I have a lawyer, a couple of lawyers that I take advice from, and they look over the documents, but it's under me, and it's a pro se brief, and I will be doing the oral argument myself. We've asked the court to grant oral argument, and I feel very confident about that, and my lawyer will help prepare me for that. So we're raising about 10 to 15,000 right now, and that's all that's left. And I mean, we've done this, we've carried this water, we've done this fabulous job, we've gotten this far, we've got this attorney general amicus brief supporting our petition for review and saying, hey, you know, yeah, we think the thing should number when it's able to number, and that's requiring the Constitution. So,
and now, are people coming up to you?
Contributions, I would love it. I would love it.
Are people coming up to you and saying, thank you for doing this, and this is so important? I mean, are people realizing? I know the media is not covering it, which is absolutely ridiculous locally, which is another proof of how ridiculous our media is. But people that are learning about it, are they coming up to you and thanking you for your patriotism?
You're so precious, Sarah. The answer is yes. And it kind of, I get emotional about it. You know, I've worked with so many candidates and shown them that there were issues with their race, and they just, there's this fear factor. And you know, I had that. It happened to me multiple times, but I did a lot of prayer, and again, did we step up or did we step back? And we stepped up. And yes, people are very grateful, because I'll tell you what, the voters out there, Sarah, just want some candidate to stand up and have courage and do this. They know these elections are corrupted.
Tired of it. I mean, look what
happened. They're tired of it. They just want somebody to do it. And I tell these candidates who I see their issues with their races too, and I said, the money will be there. People will help you because they want you to do it. There's so few of us doing it.
We want our country back, right?
We want our country back. And you know, here's the deal.
Or maybe we never had it. I don't know. Go ahead.
This is probably the easiest topic that I've ever been an activist on, because it doesn't matter, Sarah, if it's a Green Party, Libertarian, Independent, Republican, Democrat. I've presented to all these groups. None of these, you know, these groups wouldn't even have lunch with each other. But they'll invite me to come present, and we'll be there for 2 hours going through all the data. And
everybody is on board.
They want to see it. They want to understand. They knew something was happening. They wanted to know, well, this is one way it could happen, and we've shown them.
Well, it's like Bernie Sanders, you know, his election was stolen. So that side, they, you know, so all the different, and all these third parties can never get into office, so they can every once in a while. So everybody knows that they just want it fixed.
Okay. They just want to block, walk, and phone bank for their candidate because they know they're the best one and let the chips fall. And when you let the chips fall, we as humans learn from that. We gain wisdom and we adjust. And it's being aborted, that wisdom gaining process.
Yes.
It's not being allowed to happen.
It's just not working. Yes.
No. And that's what we should be guaranteed that in this country.
We are promised it, and we are guaranteed it, but the guarantee means nothing if we don't uphold the laws and we don't actually do it.
That's right. And you know, there's something sacred about laws, Sarah. There really is. When everybody agrees to a set of laws, and when you want to change those because they're not right, okay, then everybody. Not everybody, but a majority. There's something very spiritual about the law, and there's something very spiritual about our Constitution and our state Constitution in Texas.
Laws that are ethical.
They're ethical, and we've agreed to them, so let's operate off of it. And when this deceit is happening, it's short-circuiting, and we blame each other. You know I voted right. It's you who didn't vote right, Sarah. No, when you may have voted right, too, and we blame each other, and so we're disjointed. And we're fractionalized. And when really maybe the representative government that we have right now is not really representing us because we didn't pick it.
That's very interesting. Will you stick around and talk about some of your activism, 5G and fluoride and stuff for my patrons?
You betcha. You betcha.
Okay. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you, and I have the information here. So if anybody wants to help your cause, thank you so much for what you do.
Well, bless you, Sarah, for this topic. It's a complicated topic. It's a technical topic, and it's not pretty. But just God bless you. You're an angel. You're a brave angel. You're a courageous angel. And just people love you, so thank you.